Let me invite you this morning over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 23. Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Listen to this verse. "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you once again for your great grace, your great mercy, your great love that you have toward all those who believe and receive the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ by his shed blood and death and resurrection on the cross of Calvary. We ask your blessings on your word this morning. We ask your blessings on your people. May you open up our hearts and minds to hear the truth, Lord, to receive it, understand, and to praise and worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, Lord, bless, fill us with your Holy Spirit that you might be honored and glorified. And if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them, Lord, that they might understand the truth and believe on you as well. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply this. Ready? Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, another title, the same title, it could be rendered this way: the most important purchase of our lives. This is the most important purchase of our lives, and that is to buy the truth and sell it not. Now, today there's a lot of question on what truth is. Pilate asked the same question, though, didn't he? But he was not really being honest because the truth was right there in front of him, and he was willing to gratify people more than honor and glorify the Lord. And so we don't want to be in that camp. I want to remind you of another truth. Ready? Listen. The Lord is in our midst this morning. He is here this morning. He's everywhere, obviously, but he is especially here. Now, why is he here? Is it because you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, that's one reason. But he is here, I want you to know, because he promised to be here where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he would be in our midst. And so we thank God for his great faithfulness here this morning to be with us, to make his word alive to you and me, that we might understand all of the promises and all of the blessings that he has in store for us today. Listen, we need to be careful to understand this morning that this is not a truth. That's what the world is saying. Well, that's your truth. This is my truth. No, listen, there is only one truth. Amen? There's no other truth. There's just one truth. Now, on this side of eternity, that's going to be debated about. But I want you to understand, when we all stand before the presence of God and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'll see then for sure. I think God's people know it now that there is only one truth, but the whole world will see it as well. Unfortunately, not too long ago in our country, the citizens of this great nation that God has blessed understood what it meant to be, or what the truth meant, right? They said, listen, just the truth and nothing but the truth. They wanted the facts. And so truth was defined by facts and not created in the minds of men. And facts were demonstrative, or they were conclusive evidence. They were provable. They weren't this gray area, this idea of well, you have your ideas. And what is the saying today? What is it? Something about your imagination or whatever your perception is, that's your reality. That comes from people that are not well and that are not in their right minds. And I am not trying to mock or make light of them, but I want you to understand something. Just because somebody thinks they're an animal, just because somebody thinks they can fly, doesn't mean that they can fly. They'll find out very quickly, if they were to jump off a 100-story building, that they'll be met with the reality and the truth of gravity. And so God wants us to understand and to not be fooled by the ideology of today. And by the way, ideology will mislead you if that's what you're looking to. In other words, my foundation of life is built on and based upon an ideology. That means you're neglecting the facts. That means you're not willing to look at the truth. That means you've come to the place to where what you feel is more important than what you can see and what is the truth. And so God doesn't want his people to live that way. And so this morning, we want to take a few moments and consider three thoughts. A word about wisdom, the wisdom of men versus the wisdom of God, and then simply the love of God. So let me do something. Let me invite you over to the book of James, if I may. Book of James, chapter 3, verse 11. The book of James, right after the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 11. And I want you to see some truths here concerning about wisdom. What is wisdom really all about? So James chapter 3, verse 11, reads this way. It says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can you have two kinds of water coming out of one fountain at the same time? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? In other words, are you going to get olives from a fig tree? And of course, the answer is absolutely never. It's not going to happen because it's not the right kind of species. It only produces one kind of fruit. Isn't that amazing that you can't just plant one tree and one year get olives and the next year get strawberries and the next year get apples? And yet, listen, there might be people on planet Earth that would say, well, that might happen. That might be possible. If you squint just right, those olives will be strawberries. I promise you this, they won't taste like strawberries. And that would be simply a hallucination or something that's not right in the mind. And we've got a lot of that going on in our society today. So he says, listen, I want you to understand something. A fig tree is going to bear figs, and an olive tree is going to bear olives. Notice this, either a vine, figs. So no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It can't do both. Then he says this, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So we're talking about wisdom. Notice this in verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not, listen to this, against a truth or the truth. It's the truth. So listen, he's talking to believers, and get this thought in your minds. He's not addressing the world in this particular place. He's just talking to his people to understand this truth. And it is possible for us to say that, yes, we're born again, but we bear no fruit. We're bearing a different kind of fruit. That's what he's really talking about. He's addressing believers, and he's saying, listen, if you claim to be Christ-like, then if you claim to be born again and the power of God dwells within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, then there ought to be some evidence of that. And so he's wanting to make it quite clear. And by the way, if we back up to chapter 2, remember what the Bible says there in verse 19. He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also, and what? Tremble. They believe in God, but are they going to heaven? You know, isn't that funny? So many people say this, oh, I believe in God, I believe in God, and they live like the devil. And there's no power of God. Listen, and it's possible for a child of God also to be failing the Lord because they misunderstand the salvation that God has gifted and given to them. So this morning, God is wanting you and I to understand, if you are born again, you should expect the fruit of God in your life. You don't say that, yes, you're a Christian and you're bearing a different kind of fruit, is what he's saying. He's really honing in on the believer and wanting the believer to examine themselves to see whether or not they are walking in the faith and their conversation backs up their testimony. So listen, Jesus Christ is getting ready to return, I am convinced, shortly. Amen? Now, I want you, and the Lord wants you to occupy till he comes. Live life, but be ready to stand in the very presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said the same thing, and I know it's been over 2,000 years, or right about 2,000 years, but I want you to know that his soon return is more at hand than ever before. You can see more in our society of the second coming. If you didn't believe in God and you read the Bible, you'd say, my goodness, I think he's getting ready to come. I mean, he said there was going to be all kinds of licentiousness, all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of dishonesty and corruption prevailing on planet Earth. And my goodness, if you've ever seen it in your lifetime, you've certainly seen it more today than ever before. I don't ever remember a time. Now, I'm sure teenagers were killing people when I was a teenager. I just never heard of it. But it seems now at every turn, teenagers are shooting and killing each other and other people as well. And so, my goodness, I don't know what it was like in the days of Noah, but I would think we're getting pretty close. I don't know what it was like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I do want you to know that the Lord said that it was great wickedness on planet Earth in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I see that even more and more today. So are you ready to stand before the Lord? Listen. And we'll never do it in our strength. And I know I have said that, but listen, I want you to know something. There is a beautiful, wonderful truth. And that is that God is the giver of every good gift. Even the gift of bearing fruit through your life and my life. And he wants to do that. What do you have to do? What do you have to do on your part to allow the Lord to do that in and through your life? Well, there's no physical thing you have to do. The only thing you and I have to do is to ask the Lord. And so we'll see that here in just a moment. But he says, first of all, I want you to know something, just in case you might think he's talking about the world. He's talking to believers. He said, you can't have a salty fountain, a bitter fountain, and a sweet fountain at the same place. You cannot profess to know Christ and bear a different kind of fruit than what would be born in the life of a believer. That's not acceptable. That is an impossibility. The problem comes with our understanding. And here's the big mistake. As it is always, listen, it's for you and I to think it's contingent and dependent upon what we can do and what we have to give the Lord. Well, here's the good news. Ready? Well, you may not think it's good, but it is good news. Ready? You and I have nothing to give God. What did you give him for your salvation? And you would say, if you're saved, not a thing. I had nothing to give him. I was just guilty. He gave me everything. Likewise, also, in the life that he's given to us, he indwelt us and empowered us by our might or his Holy Spirit? By his Holy Spirit. Now listen, I want you to know, this is the easiest truth. It's not complicated, but it requires humility to receive it. Amen. To the child of God. And that is that just as you and I really didn't do anything but show up today in God's house, and he is in our midst, he's not here because of something we have done. He is here because he promised to be here. And by the way, he's also promised to make you and me witnesses of his great grace. Amen. Now, I want you to know something. Listen. A witness is an individual, a credible witness, let me just say that, is not somebody who's making up a story, but it's somebody who has personally, concerning salvation, has experience. This is the way God wants you and me to be a witness for him. He wants to fill us with his grace that we might experience it for ourselves, and the rest is his story in our lives, telling others about the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. Now, I want to share a little story with you. Years ago, when I first surrendered to the ministry, there was a church that I belonged to, Lone Oak Missionary Baptist Church in Plant City, Florida, roughly about 200 in Sunday school, somewhere around there, and then a little bit more, probably 20, 30, 40, so more during the church service. So our adult Sunday school class was a pretty large group. Senior adults, let me just say, senior adult. And we had three candidates, two laymen that were in the church and myself, that they wanted to hear to see if they wanted us to be their Sunday school teacher, if we were interested. And we all were interested, and there was a good spirit about it. It wasn't a competition. I can't remember. I think another fellow went for, I think, two or three Sundays. And then I think it was my turn. I don't know if I was the last one in line or the second one, but I wasn't the first one. And I remember giving my first lesson, and boy, oh boy, did I study, and I studied, and I want you to know this, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed some more, and I was a nervous wreck, right? I had, I think, 10 pages of notes because I didn't want to forget a single thing. And after I taught that class, I want you to know, I was never more exhausted mentally than I have ever been in my life. And I didn't even realize I did this. We had an interval, probably about 15 or 20 minutes between the regular service. And I went and I sat down on the front pew. I was in the auditorium, was where I was teaching. And my pastor at that time, Brother Darby, was in the fellowship hall with a great group of young people, young married couples and young college career that was he was teaching in that area. And everybody was kind of moving around. And one of the fellas that was candidating, I guess, to teach the adult, senior adult Sunday school class, came up to me and said, "What's the matter?" He saw there was a problem. And listen, the lesson went well. The Lord blessed it. But I kid you not, I didn't think about this answer. This was the honest truth. Ready? I said to him, I said, "Brother, I think I just taught everything I know about the Bible." I wouldn't say very long. I think I just taught everything. And you know what he said to me? Listen, and I don't even know if he realized, but the Holy Spirit really used this. He said, "There's more in the book," is what he told me. And that encouraged me because I thought, listen, when I sat down, I thought, I have nothing else to give. I'm in trouble next Sunday. I was already worried about next Sunday because I thought, I have nothing else to give. And do you know what God did? He gave me something next Sunday. And I want you to know, I didn't come to understand it then, but I understand it more today. God, listen, is the believer's supply for everything. He is the supply of our strength. He is the supply of our grace that he wants in our lives, that we might be gracious and kind and long-suffering and merciful and, you know, gentle and easily to be approached. He's the one that is going to bear the fruit in the life of the believer. We understand that. I understood a little bit of it there. And I tell you the truth, I'm just scratching at the door. And I'll always be scratching, but I want you to know I'm gaining. And God is revealing so much that I can only praise him and thank God for his great faithfulness. But the problem is many believers today are not receiving anything from God, so they have not a whole lot to be thankful for. That's the truth. Listen. Do you have it in your heart and in your mind to tell the lost about the Lord Jesus Christ? In your mind, the church. Does it weigh on you? Do you think about it? No, that's just the pastor's job and the Sunday school. No. God commissioned the church to go and be a witness about his great grace. So you personally, how will you stand before our soon returning Savior and Redeemer? How will you stand? Well, see, I buried the talent of the Holy Spirit. I didn't really accept it, didn't understand it, didn't believe. Whatever you want to say, it's not going to wash. What we need to do is say, Lord, help me to understand more about receiving into my life the change that you want to give me that the world might see. Did you hear that? God wants to give you and me something that will change our... I didn't say it would make us perfect. But we will see the grace of God in our lives and say, that was the Lord. That was the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? Can I tell on you, Brother Roger?
Yes.
Amen. He came up to me after Sunday school class. And he said, and it blessed my heart. And he tells me different things that the Lord's doing in his life. And that's a blessing to me. That's such an encouragement to see people excited about what God's doing. And it was like, I know that light bulb. I know that light bulb because I've received that light bulb. The Lord turns it on and we say, I see it now. I see it now. And he mentioned something like this. He says, you know, we look at what all these circumstances, we were in the book of Acts and how Paul was being used of the Lord. And if we're not careful, we think it's Paul doing all that. And he was just telling me how it was the power of the Holy Spirit in that whole situation that brought his nephew that gave Paul the wisdom to say what he said to cause the division amongst the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin Sadducees. I'm sorry, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the things that transpired. He said, I see it. I see the Lord. I see the Holy Spirit. And we got to conversing, and I didn't even think about this. But he mentioned one time I'd asked him to speak, and this has happened to me too. And he said, I didn't have anything, and it dawned on him, the Lord is my supply. See, I told you, and I felt this way. Listen, I sat down and I really believed. I studied all that I could for this lesson, and I taught everything I knew. And I have been amazed to see how much God continues to teach and to use and to bring out. That's not of me. Now, he uses you and I as instruments. But listen, I'm speaking words, but when the Lord makes it personal to you, you step back and you worship. I will tell you, I could see the joy of the Lord in Brother Roger's eyes and heart and mind and what he was telling me. And he was at awe at what the Holy Spirit wants to do and can do in our lives. Amen? All we have to do is ask God to do it. See, we think it's an incumbent and up to us to do anything for the Lord. And it is the Holy Spirit in you that wants to glorify himself in your life. God knows we have nothing to give him. That's why he gave us the Lord. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. We're just not using them. I don't know if we're afraid of him. I don't know. Maybe we don't believe in him. There are some believers that were saved and they said, well, we didn't know there was any Holy Spirit. Well, do you think they were using the Holy Spirit? They may have trusted the Lord as their Savior, but they didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. Is it possible for the child of God to walk around today not knowing the power of the Holy Spirit? Unfortunately, yes. And so let's consider, look at our text here. Look at verse 13, and notice what he says here. And I hope you're this person, this wise person. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation, that's his walk, his manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. God is saying, if you're wise and you're endued with the knowledge of God, it's going to be evidently seen. Listen, verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, and that's a child of God, don't glory in that. And lie not against the truth. So if we are walking contrary, we're lying against the truth. If we're not walking, if our manner of lifestyle is not honoring and glorifying to the Lord, this is the truth. Listen, we are lying against the truth. We're saying, I'm a believer, I'm saved again, and there's no fruit. And there's no, it's just what we're saying, there's no evidence of the power of God in our lives. Now, please, listen, the worst thing you can do is to rededicate your life and recommit and try harder. Because you're only looking to yourself in doing that. And it must be the Lord. We must just say, God, here it is, ready? I cannot do what you're asking me to do. But you have indwelt me with your Holy Spirit to do it in and through me. That's the power of God. And then when it takes place, you're not going to say, oh, I pulled that one off, baloney. You're going to worship. You're going to know you can't do that and that it's the Lord doing it in and through you. The power of God in the believer is the witness and testimony that will turn the world upside down for the glory of God. Listen to this. Listen. If you have this bitter and this envying and this strife in your hearts, that's the natural man. He said, you're lying against the truth. Verse 15, listen to this. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. And that's the believer he's talking to. Sensual. My feelings, how I feel, how you made me feel. Is that how I'm to walk in this life? Is that how I'm going to show the grace? So Pilate made Jesus mad. So he just turned him into a pile of ashes right there, right? No, he didn't. The crowd that was mocking him made Jesus mad, so he just wiped them out, right? No, what did he say? Father, for they know not what they do. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That is the Spirit of Christ. So when we get mad, we are not in the Spirit of Christ. That's the truth. Don't answer this question. Have you been mad last week? And have you been mad more than once? How about this one? Have you complained? Because God's not on the throne when we complain. We've taken God off the throne and put ourselves and said, well, this is the way I think it should have gone and should have been. Or how about this? Have you complained about somebody else? Instead of being more concerned with how you stand before your God and your Creator. Listen. He says, not only is this wisdom not from above, not only is it earthly, not only is it sensual, but he says in verse 15, what? Devilish. Devilish. Is that how God's people are to be? And yet I want you to know he's talking to God's people. Now, again, I'm not telling, listen clearly on this. I'm not telling this to you to make you feel bad. Although you may feel bad in this regard because you've dishonored the Lord in doing that. And so what God is wanting us to get out of this is to say, okay, Lord, all I do is make a mess out of it. I can't do this. Let me ask you to do it, that I might experience your grace. God is not telling us and giving us this to make us feel bad. He's telling us this so that we don't look to ourselves and look to him to make the difference. Amen. Listen. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion and every evil work in the believer. We're not talking about the world. Listen to this. God wants us to see the difference. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from where? Above is first pure. What wisdom are we walking in? Then peaceable, gentle. Listen to this. And easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without what? Hypocrisy. Do you know what hypocrisy is? Hypocrisy is the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior or conversation does not conform to. It's just words. Pretense. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and I hope you believe everything good about me when I have nothing good in me. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness, this is what God wants in us, is sown in peace of them that make peace. How are you going to get that? Not by trying harder. See, God is trying to redirect our vision to Him. If we're following the Lord, where's He at? Is He behind us or in front of us? And are we going our way or are we going His way? Do you see the difference? God is trying to redirect us, and the only reason why we would follow the Lord is because we would come to this reality: I don't know where I'm going. I don't. And listen, I want to do His will, and He needs to show me because I don't know what it is. Does He give me enough light for the year or just for the next step? The Lord is a light unto my what? Path. And a lamp unto my what? Into my feet. He gives us enough light for the next step. So where are we going at 100 miles an hour? I mean, every time I'm on the highway, I'm going to get run over, and I'm doing 5 miles over the speed limit. That's not fast enough. And if we're not careful, listen, the world will push on us to go their way. So there is the wisdom of this world that does not come from above, that is devilish, that is sensual, and that brings confusion and every evil work. That's the wisdom of this world. But God says, I've got another wisdom I want you to walk in, but you'll have to ask me to do it for you and call on me to guide you in it. Very quickly, listen, go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and I want you to see the difference between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll move quickly here. Listen to what Paul is saying here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. He says, and my speech, the Apostle Paul, and my preaching was not with enticing words of what? Man's wisdom, but in, listen to this, demonstration of what? Is this been given to you and I for our example? Or are they just words on a page for Paul? This is for you and me. But in demonstration of the Spirit, capitalized, and of power. That is for you and me. When was the last time, maybe, and by the way, listen, don't feel bad about this. If anything, just, Lord, I want to see the demonstration of your Spirit and power where? In me. In me. It's not good if it's just the preacher. It's for the whole body. It's for the whole body. And of power. Listen, verse 5, that whose faith? Your faith. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? I didn't say that. God did. So here's the question, honestly, just you and the Lord. Is the power of God in your life? I didn't say salvation. Because he's talking to the Corinthian church. If, in case you didn't know, they had lots of problems. They were all saved believers, but they were living like the world. Don't answer this. How are we living like? In the power of God, or just looking to what the world is looking to? Listen. Listen. Jesus is getting ready to come back.
Amen.
And it's these truths are foundational to every believer. Look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. You think God is making a difference between the wisdom of the world and his wisdom? But we speak the wisdom of God, listen to this, in a mystery. You don't have it figured out without God, I promise you that. If you think, oh, I understand this and I got this, you're fooling yourself. Especially if there's no power of God in your life. You're blind and you're leading other people in your blindness. How do I know that? Because I did the same thing. And I know this, I have the potential of repeating it more than once. So listen. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto whose glory. Man, listen, it's the glory of God or it's no glory at all. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Please, forget about the news in the world. Forget about those people that say they believe in Jesus and are Christians in the world. Forget about that. You better get your Christianity and the Spirit of God working in your life from His Word. Amen. And be careful about the books you read. Listen, there's only one book that a believer needs. I'm not saying you shouldn't read other books, but I want you to know something. This book ought not to be neglected. Amen. Listen. A neglect of prayer in 7 days and neglect of the Word of God in 7 days makes 1 week. Amen. W-E-A-K. Mm-hmm. It'll make a believer weak. Forget about, listen, I'm not against audiobooks and I'm not against other books, but not to the neglect of the Word of God. Amen. And not to neglect of personal prayer. And by the way, that's the way the Lord would have it. So, very quickly, notice this. He says, verse 9, but as it is written, listen to this, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Did you see that? God has things prepared for us, but we've got to, listen, don't tell me how much you love Jesus and you don't call and you don't talk to him and you don't have your time of private prayer. Prayer is good in the car, but you ought to have your place, that you meet your prayer closet, and you ought to have your time in the Word of God. Listen, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Is the Holy Spirit important to the Lord? Is it important to the Lord for you and I to see how important it is to us? Or should be? Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, save the Spirit of God. Now, listen to this. We have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Did you see that? The fruit of God, the power of God. Listen, this is God's Word. It's freely given to you. So here it is, ready? A believer says, well, I don't see it in my life, so I don't think God gave me anything. Does that ring true? That'd be a lie. That would be calling God a liar. So here's the question that we all know the answer to. Is God a liar? No. So if God says he's freely given to us things and we're not seeing them, where's the problem? With God or with us? And by the way, I want you to know something. I've not reached any mark of achievement. I am still pressing toward the mark. Because I realize my frailty and my failure and my weakness when I don't have the Lord in my life. As a believer. In other words, when he's not leading, when I'm not calling on him. And I want you to know, it's possible to get started in the day, get caught up into things, and forget about the Lord. That's why it's good for you and me early in the morning before we start our day to meet with the Lord. It's important. So notice this. Last two verses. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now remember in verse 12, we were looking at that God wants us to know that, look at the last part of verse 12, that we might know. We won't definitely know it. We might know it if we believe the Lord in on it. And he wants us to know it, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of who? So here's a good question. What's God been giving you lately? He doesn't want a dissertation on what you think the Word of God. What has he given you lately? He's given you eternal life. We can all thank him for that. Has he given you the power of God? Has he given you words to speak in the power of the Holy Spirit? Is he moving you? If God's in you, what was God's business? To seek and to save that which was lost. So, I understand you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, but when was the last time he moved you personally to give a tract to somebody you don't know? Because that's the work of the Lord, and by the way, the Great Commission to you, if you're a child of God, to us. So he says this, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now verse 13, which things also we speak, listen to this, Paul, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If they put me on the 10 o'clock news tonight and preach this message, the world would throw up. The world would throw up. This is not for the world. This is not going to gain you popularity, notoriety, fame, fortune. Because Jesus is not about that business. You know what business he's about? Your soul and mine. Your eternal destiny and mine. What has got the greater hold in your life and mine? I want you to know, you think I'm just preaching to you. I'm listening to what God is saying to me. Because me is the only one. And I want you to know I have not arrived. And I think, oh Lord, help me not to be misled. I can be misled as easy as anybody. I can get caught up in the flesh as easy as anybody. And I want you to know I'm not perfect or near it. And without Jesus, I know this one truth, I am nothing. So I want you to know I'm not reprimanding anybody. Jesus, by the way, and the Holy Spirit are wanting us to get on board with him. Last verse, ready? Verse 14. But the natural man, who's he speaking to? The Corinthian church. If we're caught up in the natural, we're more concerned about our stocks and our bank account and the responsibilities of this world, I promise you, you're not walking in the Spirit. If you don't have time to get up and spend time with the Lord and seek him through his word, and it's easy to do for a believer. I can do it. I have done it. I hope to never do it again. Because I really do believe the Lord's on the horizon of his return. Ready? 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Listen, we can have the Spirit. We could have the spirit of this world. And here's how we know this is foolish to us. We won't do a single thing about it tomorrow. We could sit here and we can listen to the Word of God and we could say, that's the truth, brother. Well, praise God, because it's out of the Word of God. Not because I'm speaking it, but because it's out of the Word of God. And listen, the spirit of the world will do nothing. Just like, listen, I told you if they put me on 10 o'clock news, the world would throw up. The world doesn't care about it. And God is speaking to his people because we can get caught up in the spirit of the world. Is that not possible? I'll amen to that. Not anything I have to be proud about, but I can get caught up in the things that mean nothing in eternity. Not the Lord's not saying that we're not in the world. We are, but we're not to be of it. We're not to be moved by what the world is moved by. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And he's talking to believers. If we are in the natural realm and not dependent upon the Lord or calling upon God, we will miss him all as a saved child of God, but no power. And all it'll be to us is just knowledge, information, no experience. And we'll miss the Lord. And we'll just say, yep, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but there's no change in my life. Is that why God saved us? One quick thought, ready? And I don't have time to go there. You know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, right? The world talks about love. I heard about some fella, I didn't hear him actually say it, but there's some fella that's got some confusion going on in his life. And he doesn't know what he is anymore for some time. And he's trying to celebrate a year of confusion. And he's going around saying that, because love beareth all things. Love hopes all things. Love vaunteth not itself. The love of the world is not the same. He's saying if anybody disagrees with him, they ought to be killed. Is that love? People talk about Christian love and listen to them and you'll see they have no love at all. You'll hear the violence and the vitriol and the unkindness and the wicked. That's what the world has. But God forbid that his people should walk in that. So this morning, you know what the Word of God says to you and I? Buy the truth and sell it not. Listen, the world has bought in the lie. And here's a lie, ready? Here's a lie. And this is not going to fly well in the world, but here's the lie that the world is going to end because of greenhouse gases. Here's the lie, ready? And let me just explain how people are buying into this, ready? They are sitting, they are protesting, they believe this ideology, this lie, that they are parking themselves in front of traffic to stop traffic. And to keep people that have maybe emergencies or appointments and things that are a detriment to their life to take care of, they believe it so much they're willing to ruin the lives of other people. They bought a lie, and the way that we know that they bought that lie, it is expressed in their life. Ready? God says, buy the truth. And if we've bought the truth, we don't just say it, it is expressed. The truth. The love of God will be expressed in our lives. Because what's really going to matter at the end, listen, is not what your church did, but it will be what you did for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is wanting us to focus on ourselves because if we are what God wants us to be, his church that he is building will take care of itself, or he will take care of it. It will be what God wants it to be. But please do not expect and fool yourself to think that as long as the church is doing what it should be doing, I'm okay. If we're not praying, if we're not reading, and if we don't see the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. So this morning, the message to you and me, and I mean that with all sincerity, is to buy the truth and sell it not. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for the sobering truth. Lord, wake us up that we would be found faithful, not looking to ourselves, but to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, of good success, Lord, that you've promised. We ask your blessings on Northwood Baptist Church, on everybody here this morning, that we would consider our ways, Lord, if we have eternal life and we know that it's a gift from you and that we have received it and that you're working in our lives. Lord, may we grow in your grace. But if there's anyone here who does not have that assurance, speak to them even now that they'll receive you as their Savior and Lord, be adopted and born again into your family. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Meet each need, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.